He never knocked, not even a courtesy knock. Vacation? I stared at my boss. It took me a moment to comprehend, and then I sputtered out, it was good. How was the week here? Mr. Hudson stared at me behind his glasses and pinched the top of his nose. He was a big man, but bigger since he had stopped working out due to a back injury. He had gained 50 pounds over the last year. He carried it all in his belly now, which made him unhappy. Everyone knew Mr. Hudson used to think of himself as a player type of guy, but with his hair starting to gray and thin, he couldn't keep up the image. Annoyance had his nostrils flaring, and he clipped out,
"The week was fine. Would have been better if we'd had proper notice of your vacation."
His eyes narrowed, and he lifted the top of his lip in a sneer.
"Word came down from the top. You never told me you knew someone at the top, Martins."
I straightened in my chair and lifted my chin. The vacation was a surprise to me as well. I apologize for any strain it might have had on you or others. He huffed out,
"You can thank Teresa for doing most of your work. She couldn't do all of it, since you're my actual assistant, but you can touch base with her. She'll bring you up to speed on everything. We've got a big deal coming up. There's a conference in New York. I want you there."
New York? My eyes widened. I was going to New York?
"Is that okay with you, Ms. Martins?"
There was an edge to his tone. Yes, Mr. Hudson. Of course, Mr. Hudson.
"Good."
He rolled his eyes.
"We have to present to Mr. Tomlinson in New York. I want you to do the presentation."
"What account is that, Mr. Hudson?"
"It's a new account. There should be an email about it. If you can't find it, ask my secretary."
"All right, Mr. Hudson." I pasted a professional smile on. He couldn't know how much I wanted to strangle him. A new account? There was an email about it? He spoke to me like I was two. With another eye roll and a disgusted sigh, he marched back to his office. I was left in my office with my hands digging into my desk. I wanted to get up, I wanted to follow him, and I wanted to do some damage. He had never talked like that to me before. What the hell had been told to him? And by whom? The only thing I could do was scroll through my email again, but an hour later I still didn't see what he was talking about. There was no email from him, or any from the higher administrative offices, so I pushed back my chair and went in search of Teresa Weber, another assistant that worked underneath the director of sales. I could have gone to his secretary, but she was slimy like her boss. As I got to Teresa Weber's office, she was frowning at her computer with a pencil between her teeth. I knocked on her door. She jerked away from her computer. Her hands flailed in the air and the pencil went flying. She grabbed onto her desk to keep from falling off her chair. Her hair had been pulled back in a low ponytail, but half of it had come undone from her startled movement. With green eyes wide in surprise behind thin glasses and her shirt already half unbuttoned, Teresa groaned from embarrassment. "Am I interrupting?" "No, no," she waved towards a chair in front of her desk. "Have a seat." Her hand quickly did up the buttons on her shirt, and she tried to smooth out her hair. She failed. Half of it fell down on her shoulder. The other half was still in the ponytail. "Sorry, you gave me a fright." I hid a grin. Teresa was always like that. I didn't know her that well, but she had a reputation. Whatever she was doing held her concentration completely. A nuclear bomb could have gone off, and it wouldn't have fazed her. "What are you working on?" "What are we working on?" she corrected me. She gestured to her computer. "It's the account Mr. Tomlinson asked for you to present on." My eyebrows shot up. Mr. Tomlinson asked himself? I instantly grew wary. What account was it? I hoped Carter wasn't a part of it, but I already knew he was. He had to have been. I held my breath as she gestured for me to come around to her side. "See here?" She tapped the computer screen. As I started to read, shock spread through me. It was an account to develop our own liquor as a brand. I shook my head. What did this mean? Teresa must have sensed my confusion. Mr. Tomlinson wants us to pitch this to the board. This bourbon's been a bestseller in the restaurant and bars. Other revenues are starting to request it. He wants it advertised as a product and distributed nationally. This is a big deal, Emma. How am I involved? She shrugged and went back to the computer. Who knows why Noah picks who he does? He always has a reason, and it always works. The guy is a genius. Noah. I grinned at her. First name basis? Her fingers froze, and a blush spread up her neck. My grin widened. You know office gossip, Teresa. The little biddies are going to be over this like white on rice. She wrinkled up her nose, but the blush spread to her face. You know, it's nothing. I mean, my eyes got big. I'd been kidding, but there was something going on. She shot me a pleading look before she looked down. Then she stopped and held her breath. Oh, wow. Look at your shoes. My shoes? It was my turn to become flustered. I'd forgotten about the very expensive heels on my feet and the expensive designer clothes that I was wearing. Are those Cassidy? I bit my lip. Yeah. Oh, my gosh! She jerked her face down to peer at my shoes better. Her shoulders straightened, her back turned rigid, and she looked back up with a stone face. Emma, those shoes aren't even out yet. How do you know? I huffed out and fanned myself. It was getting warm in her office. Because I know someone who's a shopper for Hagley's. As she named a boutique that was known for being exclusive, expensive, and one of the it spots for celebrities, I was going to faint. Of course, Carter would have a closet full of shoes that weren't even out to the public yet. I glanced down at my skirt and wondered how much money my outfit was worth. How much was I wearing? I gulped. Teresa had been eyeing my outfit as well. Her eyes were wide. You look really nice, Emma. Really nice. I didn't like getting all this attention, but wait. She knew Noah personally. That was worth way more attention than my clothes. I jerked a hand towards the computer. So, what do I need to know for this presentation? Tell me what Noah wants. She jerked back in her seat like she'd been burned. Oh, of course. After readjusting her glasses, she ran a hand over her hair and then sighed. It's going to be a long night. You have a lot to catch up on with this account. 9. Teresa wasn't kidding. I sent Carter a text to tell him that I would be staying late at work. When I didn't receive a reply, I tucked my phone away and didn't think about it. After reading more and getting a sense of what Noah Tomlinson wanted for his new pet project, I started to get excited. He wanted this new liquor to be a household competitor. I knew if this bourbon was a hit, there'd be more to come and I would be on the team. In fact, it seems that Teresa and I were doing most of the grunt work. Her boss and Mr. Hudson were our supervisors, but we were appointed the lead workers. It was a big deal. When it was nearing 7 in the evening, Teresa heard my stomach rumble and grinned at me. She pushed her glasses up and collapsed against the back of her chair. What do you think? What do you mean? I was on the floor in the middle of 3 piles of papers. I'd been there for the last hour and didn't think my legs could work again. They'd fallen asleep 40 minutes ago. Should we call it a night? It's your first day back from vacation. Talk about a killer, huh? She was joking, but I sucked in my breath. She couldn't have used different words. Then I forced out a laugh and tried to relax my shoulders. There would be permanent knots in them. Yeah, we can call it a night. I don't know about you, but I could go for a Joe's Pizza right now. You up for a slice and a beer? I started to push myself up from the floor, and once I was up, I threw her a rueful grin. I wasn't getting any younger. Then I saw she was serious and jerked upright. Sure. I'd been invited for drinks by some of the other assistants in the hotel at other times, It wasn't a large group, but we were somewhat exclusive. A fair amount of people worked underneath us, so my group of friends wasn't too big. But Teresa was in another league. She was the assistant to the director of sales, and now I knew that she knew Noah Tomlinson personally. I was taken aback by her invitation, but I couldn't turn her down. In truth, everyone was curious about Teresa Weber. She worked on all the higher accounts, and she worked alone. She wasn't known to go for after-work drinks, much less a slice of pizza and beer. She flashed me a friendly smile as she shut down her computer. "Good. I'll meet you there in 15. Or if you wait around, we can walk over together. How about we meet in the lobby in 10 minutes? Perfect. See you down there." When I went to my office and shut everything down, I grabbed my phone and stuffed it in my purse. I needed to go to the bathroom before I met Teresa in the lobby, so I used the one on the first floor. It was always cleaner, since it was the same one that the customers used, and it was beautiful. The tiling on the floor was top-notch, with separate sinks along the wall. Each of them had been individually customized as works of art from Italy. The Richmond was a work of art in itself. I was proud of Carter if he had anything to do with it. "Oh, hi." My head jerked up from washing my hands. Amanda stood behind me. She had just come in. She was pale in the face and grabbed onto the wall to steady herself. I whipped around and tried to grab her. I didn't think about it. I saw her foot slip and knew she was going down, but she caught herself against the wall. She flinched away from my hand. The smile fell away, and my hand dropped back to my side. I wasn't used to that reaction from my friend. "Sorry," she grimaced. "The last day hasn't been so easy." My head fell down. Shame flooded me as I remembered what I had left behind. Guilt flared up. "I'm sorry, Amanda. I really am. I..." She waved me off. "No worries." I hesitated. "You were working at the cafe tonight?" She nodded. "I picked up a late shift. They were cleaning our bathroom, so I figured I'd use this one. You guys are right next door." "Yeah." The guilt had settled in me. It wasn't going anywhere. "I'm really sorry I left, Amanda." "Really, Emma. No worries, I mean it." She was firm now. "We know you did something to help Mallory, all of us, since we're all a part of it. You don't have to explain yourself." I sighed. I left that life and stepped into some other glamorous life. Even my job seemed to have gotten better since Carter. "How's Mallory?" Amanda jerked forward. She went into a stall. I waited until she had finished and came back out to wash her hands. Once she turned the water on, she soaped them up and rinsed before she looked up again. "Ben took her to the hospital last night." "What?" She waved at me again. "No, no, no, it's not what you think. He wanted her to get tested. They couldn't check for sperm since Ben had, you know." I looked away. She lowered her voice and stepped closer. "He wanted her bruises and stuff looked at, to make sure she was healing all right. The hospital recommended a counselor, and I think he took her to one this afternoon. Since you left, and, you know, you told us that we could have a life again, she's been better. You weren't the only one scared about what they were going to do to us." My stomach twisted at the reminder. Franco Dunvin was still out there. He was looking for his son. Thanks to Carter, the trail wouldn't lead back to us. I nodded, my throat thick with renewed emotion again. "I'm glad she's doing better. Ben still wants me to come by every night, but she slept last night. She had a little food today, and he just texted. He said she's watching some movies tonight. I was going to stop in and see if she wanted me to stay the night." "That's good," I rung out. I should have been the one doing that. I should have been sleeping with her, taking her to the hospital, making sure she got to the counselor's office. I shouldn't have been going to work again, working on a new project that would ensure my future, or even going to Joe's for a slice and a beer with someone I always wanted to be friends with from before. Things had changed so much. I felt like I had lost my old life. "Emma?" The door opened and Teresa walked in. but stopped as she saw me. The guys at the front desk said they saw you duck in. You ready to go? Amanda's eyes went wide. Teresa noticed her and stuck her hand out. Hi, you work in the little cafe next door, right? I'm Teresa Weber. Amanda shut her mouth with a snap, but took her hand. I'm Amanda. Yeah, I work in the cafe. You work for Mr. Dalton, don't you? Well, Emma and I both work for him now. We're on the same account. Teresa's cheeks were pink from excitement. I already love the work we've done together today. Amanda swung her wide eyes to me, but I readied myself. There it was. I saw the realization settle in. The surprise had moved over, and her eyes darkened from hurt. She'd heard me mention the higher administrative levels. I must have talked about Teresa, since her boss was near the top. I hung my head. I should have given myself up. Maybe that would have helped, but no, it wouldn't have. Things would have been the same, and we wouldn't have had Carter's protection. She didn't know who I went to for their safety. Carter stressed the importance that they couldn't know about him. He had his reasons. I would trust in them. I would trust in him. Oh, I see. Teresa frowned now as she looked between us. Her eyelids fluttered, and I knew she was starting to figure out that something was wrong. She drew in a deep breath and gave Amanda a polite smile. Well, it was nice to have met you. Are you ready, Emma? I nodded. I didn't trust myself to speak, not yet. As we left, I looked back. The hurt had transformed into a glare, but I saw a small tear. Amanda flicked it away as she turned her back to me. My heart dropped the farther I walked away from that bathroom door. I didn't know how or what had happened, but my friendship with Amanda wouldn't be the same. She knew something changed in my life, and it wasn't the same type of change that had happened to them. Things got worse for them, while things got better for me. As Teresa led the way out the door and across the road to the popular pub, I made my mind up. I didn't know Carter's exact requirements, but I wouldn't forget my friends. I needed to see Mallory again. I had to make sure everything would be okay between me and her. When we walked inside, I cringed as I saw the place was packed. It seemed that everyone needed a drink. A large portion of workers from the Richmond sat in the front. There were servers from the restaurant, clerks from the front desk, and a few of the managers. All of them looked up, and all of them quieted when they saw I was with Teresa. She led me towards the back and grabbed a table in a corner. Across the room were the girls that I would usually grab a drink with. They paused when they saw who was with me now. A few of them dropped their mouths, but leaned forward to the others. The buzz in the restaurant doubled as Teresa waved down a waiter. I needed a drink. Now. As Teresa ordered a pizza for both of us, I nodded when she asked if she should order a pitcher of beer. As soon as it arrived, I downed my first glass. Oh, whoa! Her eyes widened. Was I that hard on you? No. A grin escaped me. I'm sorry, things have been pretty stressful for me lately. Yeah, she nodded. I heard your vacation wasn't planned. I had been reaching to pour a second glass, resolved that it was going to be my last drink for the night, but I dropped my hand back to my lap at her words. What do you mean? Oh, she shrugged as she sipped on her own beer. Nothing, really. I heard that something bad happened and you had to leave town suddenly. A family crisis? Where did you hear that? I was in the office with Noah when he took the call. He called Mr. Hudson himself and told him that you were on vacation that whole week. Oh, God. I wasn't surprised, but I hadn't realized it had gone down like that. I looked at my lap with my mind whirling. Noah Tomlinson himself had taken the call? I jerked back up. When did he get that call? Last Friday? She frowned. Why? So much didn't make sense. I had not shown up at my job for 4 days. Didn't they have questions about that? But no, not with that explanation coming down from the boss himself. and he took the explanation from one phone call? I shook my head. Carter was more than a sparring partner to Noah Tomlinson. Maybe he was even more than an investor.
You okay, Emma?
Yeah. I tried to give her a reassuring smile. I'll be fine. You're right. It was a family emergency. Everything is better now. I hoped everything would be better.
Good.
Her smile stretched from ear to ear as she leaned closer across the table. I have to tell you that I've been itching to work with you on a project like this.
Really?
Why? She laughed.
You've earned your way up the ladder. You're quiet, you're hardworking, and you've lasted the longest as Mr. Hudson's assistant. He's so hard to work with. Anyone who's lasted as long as you have and not gotten the punt by him says a lot about you. Plus, she giggled, if everything goes well with this new account, you and I both are going to be promoted.
Really? My eyes went wide.
How do you know?
She sat back, still trying to quench her smile, and shrugged.
I can't tell you that, but I know it's a definite possibility. They've had their eye on you for a while.
I sat back, dazed as I heard her. I couldn't believe it. That meant...
This was from me.
Carter couldn't have helped me with this new account.
If what she said was correct, then I earned this new project, and maybe a new promotion on my own, not because of him.
I wanted to celebrate. I was alive, I was going to stay alive, and things were going to be okay. I sat back in amazement as those realizations washed over me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could, but I couldn't. I hadn't thought about things at all in the last week, but here I was. I still had my job, I was going to get a better job, I hoped, and things were going to be all right. Mallory was getting help. Everything was going to be fine.
You okay?
Teresa peered close to me.
Yeah,
I gasped. Everything's great. And I meant it. I reached for my second glass of beer as the pizza came to our table.
Let's cheer to that.
She raised her glass. 10. 3 pitchers later, our table had been joined by the girls that usually accompanied me for drinks. All of them were eager to know Teresa better, since she seemed out of our reach for friendship. When they learned what account I had been assigned to, a few gave me heated looks from jealousy or anger. Laura seemed happy for me, but she was the nice one of the group. She was happy for everyone. I had long forgotten to check my phone, so I wasn't sure how late it was when a sudden hush came over the table. I jerked my head up.
What?
All of them were looking at me. No, all of them were looking behind me. My eyes went wide, and I knew. A knot formed in my gut as I took a deep breath before I turned, but then I relaxed. My shoulders dropped down, and I let out my breath. It was only Mike, or Thomas. I wasn't sure. They both looked the same.
Miss Martins,
he spoke, so tall and Goliath-like. I snickered at that thought. He could have been a gentle giant, but since he was security for Carter, I doubted it. He spoke again with a blank expression over his face.
Your ride is waiting for you outside.
Your ride? One of the girls hooted. Moving up in the world, Ems. Hot new project at work and hot new ride.
Another girl laughed. He's like a butler for rides.
Is he a chauffeur?
Then someone whispered,
I think he's a Chip and Dale dancer.
The first girl hooted again as she slapped her hand on the table.
He's going to whip off his pants any second. Any second? Wait for it.
Mike never blinked. He never reacted. He just waited for me. I sighed. The fun was done for the night.
I should go, you guys. Oh, come on, Emma, don't go. We're just starting to have fun.
I shook my head. I have work tomorrow. Teresa nodded beside me, and I indicated her. We have work tomorrow. We can't slack off like normal.
Like we do, you mean?
The girl wasn't offended. I grinned. See y'all tomorrow? Wait. Teresa grabbed her purse and threw $50 on the table. Can I get a ride with you? I can't drive home like this. Oh, that was right. I started to dig into my purse to pay my bill, but Mike said in my ear,
It's already been taken care of, Miss Martins.
Oh, he paid my bill? But then I was distracted when I caught his quick glance at Teresa, who was waiting beside me. Comprehension flared, and I glanced at him with the unspoken question. Could we give her a ride? Was that allowed? I was still fuzzy on Carter's rules, or even if he had any rules. Then I frowned. Where had Mike come from? Had they been waiting outside all day and night? But they couldn't have known I was at Joe's with Teresa, could they? Then I shrugged. What the hell? I was feeling brave and buzzed, so I linked my elbow with hers. Let's go. She gave me a giggly smile in return, and off we went. Mike followed behind at a more sedated pace. When we burst through the door, the car was waiting out front like he had said. As Teresa reached for the back door, I sucked in my breath. It was at that moment that I realized my mistake. Carter could have been inside, waiting for me, and I knew he wouldn't be happy at my friend's discovery of him. When she slipped inside and there was no comment or greeting, I relaxed a little. Then I caught the bland expression on Mike's face and knew he would have stopped her if Carter had been inside. I flushed. I was an idiot sometimes. When I bent forward and sat beside Teresa, Mike folded into the seat beside me. We had to scoot over for him, and Teresa giggled behind her hands. It's like you have a bodyguard. Are we giving him a ride home, too? She patted my leg a few times, but then jerked forward. Who's driving this car? I cringed. I didn't want to say it to her. I didn't want her to look at me differently. Who else had a driver and bodyguard? Mike answered for me.
An associate of mine. It's a new car service offered by Joe's.
Really? She frowned. I never knew about this before. I would have used this a lot.
It's only for the night, ma'am.
Ma'am? More giggles came from her. She slapped my leg again. I had one pitcher too many, Emma, but I had fun. Did you have fun? I think we'll make a great team for this account. Noah's going to be so proud of us. I'm glad he picked you for the account. She leaned close and whispered loudly. I don't have a lot of female friends at work. Those girls were fun tonight. We should do that again sometime. I patted her arm as she turned back to her window and asked Mike, Do you need her address? He didn't look at me as he spoke.
We already know it. Thank you, ma'am, for asking.
I sat back, stunned. I felt snubbed by my own bodyguard. Had I been? Or was the beer speaking to me, too? Teresa lived in a newer building. As she teetered her way inside, the car waited until she had been let inside by her doorman. I sunk low in my seat. I was back to the home that wasn't home. It was then that everything slid back into place. I wasn't some fairy princess with new friends and a new job. Well, kind of. But as we progressed across the city, I remembered my place. I had killed a man, and I was in hiding from his family. I sighed and closed my eyes. We would arrive at Carter's home soon enough, and I doubted I would have a restful night's sleep. When the car dipped down into the basement, I didn't wait for Mike to open the door or even for the car to stop. I opened the far door and hopped out. I had hit the elevator button before Mike had his own door shut. Both of them hurried for me, but I stood back and watched as the elevator door slid shut. For some reason, that made me feel better. I had escaped them for a second and in Carter's own home, but it was a little burst of victory for me. My stomach twisted and churned. I didn't know what was wrong with me, but when the elevator opened to my floor, I stepped out into the little hallway with trembling legs and shaking hands. My palms were sweaty, and my pulse had started to race again. It was Carter. If Mike wasn't happy with me, then I knew Carter would be furious. But I had no idea why. What had I done wrong? It was my life. I could live how I wanted. I tried to reassure myself that. Carter couldn't be mad at me. He didn't have control over my life. But it was a lie. My heart raced even faster, and my body started to feel sick as I opened my door. Then I stopped in shock. My floor was dark. There were no lights on, and as I made my way towards the stairs, I couldn't see any lights on throughout the rest of the building either. I was alone. There was no Carter. I wasn't sure what to feel about his absence, and I refused to believe I was disappointed. Instead of dwelling on it, I showered and headed to bed. It was nearly midnight, and tomorrow was a full day at the job again. It was later, much later, when my blanket was ripped off of me and I jerked upright. I caught a glance at the clock. It was after 4 in the morning. Carter stood above my bed. His icy blues glared down at me. He was dressed all in black again with a hood over his head. It covered his blonde hair, and I couldn't notice anything more. I was caught and held captive by his eyes. They had turned into those of the strangers, and he was livid with me. I scooted against my headboard, but didn't say a word. I didn't dare. I didn't reach for the blanket. I had gone to bed in a tight white top, and I was in my panties, but I couldn't cover myself. I knew Carter wanted that. I remained still and took a quiet breath. I felt like the prey being caught by the predator. A wild animal stood above me, and then he took a step closer. His pants brushed against my bed. He was so close to me. He bent down to the bed and placed his arms on either side of me. He grasped the headboard into fists, but kept himself off of me. His knees never touched the bed as he bent forward. His breath brushed across my skin. He spoke in a low growl. "I was on my way to Greece tonight when my men called me. You disappeared tonight." I drew in another breath. It left me shaking. "I didn't..." "You did." His breath tickled against my lips. He never blinked. The rage in him was barely contained. "You worked late. I texted you that." His fists tightened on the headboard, and his knee touched the bed now. It dipped under his weight, but he held himself above me. My heart was pounding, but I couldn't keep his gaze. Too many different emotions were being stirred up inside of me. When I felt the throb start between my legs, I clenched them together and hoped it would go away. What was wrong with me? "You sent me a weak text, and then you never looked at your phone again." I clamped my eyes shut. He was right. "You were hiding from me." Right again. His breath hit me on the side now. He had moved, and I wondered where he was looking now. Was he closer to me? The bed dipped again, so I wondered if both of his knees were on it now. I was still trapped between his arms, but he was so close to me. The throbbing between my legs grew. I wanted him between them. I wanted him against me, on top of me. A small whimper left me before I could stop it. I bit down on my lip and tried to keep another from escaping. His hand left the headboard and cupped my chin.
"Emma."
Oh, God. He had softened his tone. It was a sensual caress against my skin now. My leg moved back just an inch. I opened for him.
"Emma, look at me."
I shook my head. I couldn't. He'd see.
"Emma."
His lips touched the side of my mouth now, and I gasped. I couldn't hold back anymore as I turned into him. My lips brushed against his, but he moved back, just enough so his lips only lightly touched mine. He didn't give in. He didn't press them against mine. I wanted all of him, not just the soft feel of him. He moved even closer, and his other hand left the headboard. It slid behind my waist, and he picked me up. My eyes burst open, and I wrapped my arms around him without thinking. He lifted me from the bed and moved me to the dresser. He sat me on top, grabbed my legs, pulled me to the edge, and then fit himself between them. One of his hands braced against the dresser while the other went to my back. He pressed me against him, all of me against all of him. My chest was crushed against his, and my lips fell open. The throbbing was so insistent now. I was wet, ready for him.
"Why didn't you tell my men you were leaving your work?"
I couldn't hear him. The need for him had a haze over my mind. I only felt him, how his heart was still calm while mine raced. The front of his pants burned against me. He had thickened, pressed between my legs, and I opened them wider. Then he drew in a breath. He stiffened against me, and his head dropped to my shoulder. His lips skimmed my naked shoulder in a soft kiss. My hair was brushed back, and he pressed another kiss to my neck. I shuddered against him.
"Emma,"
he whispered now.
"Why didn't you tell my men you were leaving? They searched your entire building before they called me."
His voice grew insistent, and I struggled to hear his words. When I finally processed his words, a small frown came to me. I didn't want to talk. Not then, not anymore. My voice had grown hoarse. "I forgot." My eyes widened, though the lust increased inside of me. What was he doing to me? "I forgot. Teresa mentioned Joe's, and we went over. I saw..." Who had I seen? Someone had distracted me. "I saw Amanda and felt bad."
"Why did you feel bad?"
His hand brushed more of my hair away and skimmed down my back. He cupped the back of my thigh and pulled me closer to him. I couldn't get any closer. I was plastered to him. My legs opened again, even wider. His chest rose against mine, and his hand skimmed down my arm to my waist. He lingered on the inside of my thigh. I was burning up now. He repeated,
"Why did you feel bad?"
My arms wound tighter around his neck. I stuck my head against his chest and said, my voice muffled, "Because I left them. I left them for you." I bit down on my lip from saying that thought out loud. He'd know how much I wanted him. I started to wonder if I had always wanted him.
"Oh, Emma."
His hand cupped the back of my head and lifted me to face him. My eyes opened to slits as I peered at him. He was studying my mouth, his eyes dark with lust as he murmured,
"They're safe. You're not. You need to be here with me where I can make sure you're safe. You pulled the trigger. You're the one they want."
"Jeremy." My own voice haunted me. The bang of the gun came back, and I felt the kickback in my hand again. "You have to be quiet. People will hear." A sob escaped me, and Carter lifted me from the dresser. My arms and legs wound around him, but my head dropped into his chest. Another sob came up, and then another. I was crying as he lowered both of us to the bed again, but he held me as I continued. I couldn't stop crying. As the night progressed, I cried myself back to sleep in his arms. Carter. Carter sat on the edge of the bed. He watched her. She had cried in his arms that night, and he wanted to murder whoever caused her the pain. He couldn't. She had already killed Jeremy, and Franco was a cancer. Struggling to keep his rage under control, he pulled out the nightstand drawer and studied his gun for a moment. It was his trusty friend, one that he had used so many other times when someone needed to disappear. He hadn't used it in a long time. He hadn't had to. But the temptation to take matters into his own hand was great. His arm shook as he tried to keep himself from reaching for it. It'd be so easy. He could slip out. No one would know. He would go to Franco and get into his house, but he couldn't. Franco's death was a political one. It had to be approved by his family. And even when he would die, and he would die. The Bartell family would send another. They were all the same. They would do as Franco had done with Cristino. They would take over the last assignment and do more than they needed to prove their authority to the neighborhood. That couldn't happen. When Franco died, it had to stop with him. No one could hurt her. Carter shut the drawer softly and left for the gym. His hands needed to pummel someone, so the boxing bag would have to be it. As he went, he was already thinking of ways to ensure that Franco's death would be the last of it. 2 hours later, he was still considering ways to cement her freedom. 11. I woke from an empty sleep. His arms weren't around me. I didn't feel his legs entwined with mine anymore, and when I turned over, I already knew he was gone. The clock said that it was after 6 in the morning. There were no other lights on, not that I could see, but I rose and grabbed the robe again. I pulled it on as I went in search of him. I went through every floor and looked in every room. It wasn't until I got to the bottom floor that I heard him. A light was on and shone underneath a closed door, but I heard thumping from inside the room. As I opened the door, I saw him in the middle of a gym. His black pants were still on, but his shirt was gone and sweat gleamed down his chest. His hands were taped, and he was circling a punching bag. There was blood on the tape. I tried to find where he had been hurt, but I didn't see blood anywhere else, only sweat and muscles. They constricted and stretched as he continued to hit the punching bag, each illuminated in the stark contrast by the light. I wondered if there was an ounce of fat on him. It didn't seem likely, but then he stopped as he saw me. He touched the bag to hold it as it swayed, and his chest rose up and down from his breathing. His eyes narrowed when I stepped inside the room.
"You couldn't sleep?"
I shook my head. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to be near him, but I couldn't say that. What would change then? I held my tongue, though my hands fought against me. They wanted to reach out to him. My feet wanted to cross the room, and I wanted to feel his arms around me again. I swung my body back to keep myself from going to him. His pull on me was so powerful, too powerful. It scared me.
"Emma."
I jerked my eyes up to his and gulped. His eyes had darkened as he watched me. Lust filled them. But there was more to his darkness. There was danger in them as well. That was what kept me from going to him. He was so dangerous.
"You never looked at your phone, did you?"
I frowned. My phone? But then I remembered. I shook my head. No, I hadn't. And he'd been right earlier. I hadn't looked at my phone because I wanted to run from him. I wanted to hide from what my life had become. I wanted to forget everything, just for a night.
"Talk to me," he urged in a quiet voice.
I gasped as I heard a soft yearning in him. There was a pleading within him, and my eyes went round. He was pleading me for something. Oh, God. I couldn't stop myself. I crossed the room to him, but I stopped right before him. I didn't touch him. My eyes fell to his chest, and it rose up and down in a steady rhythm. My hand lifted without my decision and touched where his heart was. My eyes widened as I saw my own hand in front of me. Why couldn't I stop myself when I was around this man?
"What are you thinking?"
His voice grew rough. His heart picked up its pace underneath my hand. I sighed to myself. It was soft and quiet. But it was everything. It was my surrender. I closed my eyes and I stepped into him. His arms wound around my waist, and then my head rested on his chest. It was right to be in his arms.
"Emma, you need to talk to me."
I nodded, choked up now. My hand wound around his waist and formed into a fist on his waistband. As I bit my lip in a poor attempt to hold myself from jumping him, I lifted my head and gave him a fleeting smile. I wanted to forget for the night. He nodded. His eyes darkened even more. I couldn't look away now that my eyes had connected with his. The words tumbled free now. I wasn't hiding from you. I was hiding from everything. I'm sorry that your men contacted you and you had to come back from Greece. My heart skipped a beat. He had come back for me. I continued, stumbling over my words. Everything is different, Carter. Nothing's the same. Even my job changed yesterday. It's all better. Different. Everything is different. I'm different. I've changed, and I don't know how to handle that. Don't know what to do now. I clasped my eyes shut against my thoughts.
Hey.
His hand skimmed up my arm to caress my cheek.
When my men called and said you had disappeared, something changed in me, too. I would do anything for you, Emma. I thought Dunvin found out about you and took you. I was ready to come back and start a war. When they told me you were having drinks with your co-workers, I could have gone back. But I didn't. I came home. I needed to see you. I had to make sure that you were okay. You were in bed when I got home. You were sleeping. You looked so innocent. I wanted to murder Jeremy Dunvin for what he did to you.
I shook my head. He was hurting Mallory.
He hurt you, too.
An alarming tone came from him.
He changed your life. For that alone, I will not stop until all of his men are in the ground.
My hands fell away from him. What was he talking about? I shook my head again. You can't.
I can, he growled.
His hand flexed against my back, and he held on to me as I had with him.
When you came to me, I wanted to torture Jeremy Dunvin, but I couldn't. You already killed him. His father won't stop, Emma. He's still searching for what happened to his son, and they know about Mallory.
My eyes bulged out, and I bent over. I couldn't breathe. Panic filled me. His hand didn't move from me. He kept me chained to him.
They know he was with a girlfriend. It's only a matter of time before they find her.
I gasped for breath. It wasn't coming. Something was blocking my air.
I can't protect her.
I shook my head, fully panicked now. I gasped out, "You promised me. You said that..." He jerked me against him, his eyes drilled into mine.
I said what I needed to get you here. You never would have left her if I told you the truth.
No! I ripped out of his arms. Then I turned and started for the door.
No!
He growled as he grabbed my arm and pulled me back. I struggled against him, but he lifted me in the air. He carried me further into the room, into the shadowed corners, and he pressed me against the wall. I was trapped again. I had nowhere to go. He held me up, as he had held me in the bed that first night. His legs paralyzed mine, and my arms were helpless under his hold. His chest was against mine again. He lowered his head to my neck. His nostrils flared, and he skimmed my skin with his lips. I shivered as sensations flared inside of me. But no! Mallory! I tried to struggle again, but it was useless. I was melting inside. He whispered against my neck,
"You can't go to her. You can't, Emma."
I whimpered. My legs started to soften.
"That man wasn't your boyfriend."
I shook my head, but it wasn't a question. Another whimper left me.
"I found out who he is and where he works. I know that he works with your roommate. He loves her, doesn't he?"
Another nod, another submission. I groaned, and my head fell against the wall. I was starting to need only him now. Carter whispered against my neck, an edge in his voice.
"That man would do anything for her. What do you think he would do if Franco's men took her?"
Agony speared me. I already knew.
"He would give you up in a heartbeat," he clipped out. "You know that. You know what he would do. He wouldn't even give you a heads up, Emma. They would take her, and he would walk into Franco's office without a second thought, and that will happen. Franco's men knew Jeremy was with someone. They're searching for her right now. As soon as they question her, and they will, your name will come up. If she doesn't give you up, he will."
His hand had a cement hold on me. He was claiming me.
He will do that to make sure the woman he loves is safe. And I would do the same for you.
My heart stopped. Had he just... I opened my eyes and saw the stark need in his.
I have been protecting you since you were a child, Emma. I'm not going to stop now.
It was for AJ. My stomach dropped as I realized that. This was all for my brother. It was like he reached in and squeezed my heart. It was a painful hold that I couldn't stop. He kept squeezing as he continued,
"My men have to know where you are at every minute of the day. They're going to come for you, Emma. It's only a matter of time, but when they do, they'll learn who is protecting you and it should stop them. Once they find me at your side, this becomes another matter. Franco Dunvin will take his claim to his family elders, and they will make the decision on whether or not he can pursue retribution for his son. If they do, they'd be starting a war against me."
I blinked back tears. I didn't know what to think anymore. He was right. This was beyond me, but he was doing all of this for me. Then I shook my head and I cleared my throat. I had to think again. I needed to push all emotions aside. I had to focus. I rasped out, "And what about your family?"
"What do you mean?"
I pushed him back an inch. He was a force in himself on my sensations. Already my body wanted him back again. "When Franco finds out that you're protecting me, it's not between him and you, right?" He nodded. "And he has to go to his family for approval to come for me?" A searing pain stabbed me as I realized what they would do to me if that happened. I pushed past it. "So if he needs approval with his family, then don't you? Doesn't your family need to approve of you protecting me?" His eyes softened, and his hand touched my throat gently. He murmured as his thumb rubbed against me,
"They already have."
"What do you mean?" Moving closer, he rested his forehead against mine.
"I've been protecting you since I joined the Mauricio family. You were why I joined them in the first place."
"What? What?" My eyes implored him for further explanation, but I couldn't speak. He grinned to himself and moved to press a kiss at the corner of my mouth. He didn't move away like he had before. He stayed there, and I felt his tongue brush against my mouth.
"Those men were hunting you down after they killed AJ. They wanted his family wiped out. I killed them, and then I went to Mauricio. Your safety was part of my condition to join his family. You will always be safe. That's been my first priority, even over the family itself. My elders know that. Anything I do for you will always be cleared with my family."
But I couldn't think. What he said, it didn't make sense. None of it made sense. He had been protecting me this whole time, but... He pressed a kiss to my cheek and sighed. His hand trailed down my arm in a caress.
"I tried to keep you safe. I wanted you to live your life free. But when you came to me, I couldn't allow you that freedom anymore. You have to be with me. You have to stay with me and let the men know where you are at all times. I can't risk the chance that Franco might go against his family and take you without their approval. He's crazy enough to do that. And if he does, he gets through my men."
He shuddered against me. His arms tightened their hold on me.
"I need you safe. I need to be able to contact you at all times."
I nodded and flinched at the same time.
"What's wrong?"
I couldn't tell him. I didn't even know. A storm erupted inside of me, and as he explained more and more, the storm spread throughout me. Then I started to break down. I couldn't understand all of it, not the fullest extent, so I clung to the bits that made sense to me. I needed to stay with him. Franco Dunvin could still come after me. I needed Carter. That made sense to me. So that's what I held on to.
"Emma."
I looked up as some of the panic started to subside. I could breathe again. I could think. But but my heart started to thump in my chest. His hand rested there between my breasts, and my heart doubled its pace. I choked out. I won't hide anymore. I understand.
You do?
Yes. Then he sighed, and his forehead dropped back to mine. I couldn't leave, not even if I wanted to. But I stopped thinking there. I couldn't think about the possibility that I was starting to not want to leave. I distracted myself and asked, "What about Mallory?" He frowned.
"What about her?"
"What do they know about her?" He tensed again.
"I have someone on the inside. He said they don't know much about her, but they know Jeremy had a girlfriend and they're looking for her."
"What if he had lots of girlfriends?"
"He did, but they know there was a girl he saw on a regular basis."
A light bulb turned on. "Do they know her name?"
"Not yet."
My chest tightened as he held something back, and then I knew. My heart grew heavy. "But they will, won't they?" He nodded.
"I'm sorry, Emma."
"How long, do you think?" He gave me a sad smile.
"I don't know. I don't think it'll be too much longer before they find Mallory."
A sob hitched in my throat. "Are they going to hurt her?" He didn't respond. I knew my answer. Then he lifted me into his arms again, but this time his embrace was for comfort. He brushed some hair from my forehead.
"They might let her live if she gives you up."
I couldn't speak. The pain was too much. For the first time, I couldn't believe that I hoped for my roommate and best friend to stab me in the back. Then she would be safe. Jeremy wouldn't be able to continue to hurt her anymore. I nodded. I was okay with that, if it meant she would be safe. "Carter?" His arms tightened around me.
"Yeah."
"Would you sleep with me?"
"Of course."
But as he carried me from the room, he didn't go to my room. He took me to his. The sun had started to rise, so his room had some light inside, but I didn't look around. I kept my eyes closed as he placed me under the covers and slid behind me. He curled me back into his arms.
"When do you have to wake up?"
8 o'clock. But it didn't matter. I never fell asleep. Neither did he. When his alarm went off an hour later, I rose from the bed and got ready for work. Carter handed me coffee, and then we went to the car. He rode with me to work and squeezed my hand when we arrived. Mike, or a look-alike, opened the door for me, but I didn't get out. I stayed in the car for another minute. No one said a word. The door was held open, waiting for me. And then, as my heart sank, I started to go. Carter pressed a kiss to the corner of my mouth before I went. A tear fell from my eye, but he brushed it away. As I left, I knew that my entire life had changed, and this was the first time that I accepted it. 12. The rest of my week turned into a routine. I barely saw Mr. Hudson, which was fine with me, and worked almost solely with Teresa on the new project. We took our breaks and lunches together. By the end of the week, she was quickly becoming a friend, which seemed like a good thing when I stopped receiving text messages from Amanda. Teresa and I went to the cafe for bagels one morning, and Amanda was working. She never made eye contact with me, and as I watched her, I saw there were bags underneath her eyes. I wondered if something had happened to Mallory, but I couldn't ignore Carter's warning. There was no going back. It was best for everyone that I stepped away from my old friends, best for them and for myself. I missed Mallory. I missed Amanda. I even missed Ben, just a little bit. There had been some good times with the four of us on the weekends, so when Teresa suggested pizza, wine, and movies at her place, I was excited to go. Carter had left town for the weekend. He hadn't told me where he was going, only that he would be back Sunday night, so I wasn't looking forward to spending it alone. I called him and relayed where I would be. He only said to make sure the men knew my plans for the evening. He had another guard added to my team. I started to realize the same men didn't work 24 hours a day. They switched at regular 8-hour shifts, but they all looked the same. I had been calling 3 different guys the name of Mike. The real one had a scar on the inside of his left hand, and his eyes were darker brown than the rest. When we stopped at Teresa's building, the real Mike sat next to me. I let out a shaky breath, trying to calm my nerves. He gave me a reassuring smile before he got out of the car. I waited inside. This was their routine for me. The car would stop at the back, and one of the guards would get out. He would start a sweep around the building, and when he cleared it, the car would pull to where I would get out. Then the guard who rode beside me would walk around to my side of the car while he did another visual sweep of the surroundings. He remained at my door while he waited for the third guard to get into place inside the building, and then he would open the door for me. Once that happened, I went inside and forgot about the men. They were always around. I never knew where they were, but they were close. Carter told me one night over dinner that he trained his men to be ghosts. They were supposed to adapt and blend into any environment. Otherwise, he wouldn't hire them for his security team. He never used them himself. When he left, he only had one man with him, named Gene. I never saw Gene, but I heard his voice a few times when he would call for Carter. Gene was an enigma to me, but everything about Carter's life was a mystery to me. When Mike opened my door, I gave him a small nod in thanks and walked inside. Teresa's doorman gave the guards a scared look, but he opened the door for me without a word. His hand trembled as he did so, and he flushed when he saw that I noticed it. I wanted to murmur my understanding, but I didn't. I ducked my head down and followed him to the elevator. He pushed the button for Teresa's floor and bid me a good night. He said that he would be announcing my arrival to her over an intercom from the front desk. As with Mike, I gave him a nod in thanks as well, then stepped back and waited until the elevator stopped at her floor. Teresa opened her door down the hall and stuck her head out. She waved at me. "Hey there. I've got a pizza on the way and 2 bottles of wine being chilled. I hope you like wine. I like the sweet stuff. I'm not a dry girl." The ball of nerves inside loosened at her easygoing laugh. As I stepped into her apartment, I was taken aback by the warmth. It was a 3-bedroom apartment with a simple layout. "You want a tour?" I flashed a grin. "I'd love one." "Here's the kitchen." She waved to the room we were standing in, with an island counter in the middle. "There's the living room." She had a white plush sectional sofa that curved around one corner of the room with a love seat next to it. The wall was covered with a large flat screen. She led the way through the living room and opened her glass doors that led onto a large patio. "Here's my balcony. Nothing special, but I like the view." It was over a courtyard that was in the middle of the surrounding buildings. A pool glistened up at us. "And here's my bedroom." She took 2 steps and opened another set of glass doors. We stepped inside to a large bedroom. She had matched her white comforter with the white couches in the living room. As she showed me her bedroom and the other 2 rooms used as an office and an exercise room, I noticed there were no guest bedrooms. The last stop was her public bathroom. She opened the door. "I've got a private bath off my room, but you can use this one. I never have guests, so it'll be like your own bathroom whenever you come over." A twinge of pleasure spread through me. She was already planning for the next time we hung out. Her buzzer went off, and she went over to it. "Yeah?" The man on the other side spoke.
"Your pizza is here."
"Okay, let him up. I'll be waiting."
"Yes, Miss Weber."
She grinned and shook her head as she turned to me. "He always calls me Miss Weber. I've been living in this building since I was 3. You'd think Jarvis would start calling me by my first name, but he never does." "You've lived here your whole life?" She nodded as she collected her wallet from her purse. "Yep. My parents moved in when my dad got a new architect job. Then, after they died, I didn't want to leave the building. I did downgrade to this apartment, but I like this building. It's home. Known all the neighbors all my life. There's not much turnover here." My eyes went wide. She downgraded? I could never afford a place like this, not with the salary I earned as Mr. Hudson's assistant.
Then I comprehended the rest of what she had said. "Oh, I'm so sorry about your parents." She shrugged as she opened the door. "It's fine. It was a car accident. I was told that they didn't feel any pain. A truck blindsided them." I heard the hitch in her throat. The elevator sounded its arrival, and she stepped out to pay for the pizza. When he left, she closed the door behind her with a large, steaming pizza box in her hand. I wasn't sure what to say. I understood grief and death, but I didn't understand her lifestyle. For the most part, I grew up in a one-bedroom with AJ. Mallory and Ben grew up with their parents, but they lived in poverty. All three of us had fought our way out of it. I'd been the most successful, but I would never feel comfortable in a home like this. Carter's was different. That was Carter's place, not mine. "What about you and your folks?" "Oh, what did I say? My parents have been dead since I was 9. I grew up with my brother." "I'm sorry about your folks, too. You must be close with your brother."
I was.
"Yeah."
I forced a wide smile and changed the topic. "The pizza smells delicious."
She chuckled as she pulled out 2 plates. "Gotta love Sammy's pizza, right? I grew up on it. My mom always ordered delivery. I think she had a crush on the delivery guy back then, but my dad never minded. It was the only time he could eat junk food. My mom was a stickler for health food back then. Not me. I indulge when I can. When the pounds start sticking, I'll have to stop." I had to agree. She was stick-thin, and after spending so many breaks and meals with her during the week, I knew she had a hearty appetite. I wasn't as blessed, but I never had a problem with my weight. My problem was not having an appetite like Teresa, something she had started to notice over the past week. I was determined to match her with pizza tonight. But as I made that decision, she already gobbled a slice down as she searched for 2 glasses for our wine. I didn't think I stood a chance. However, I slid a piece onto a plate.